This is KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Listen to these three Puget Sound area voters. Who do you suppose they supported in the presidential election?
I'm one that likes to live next to the beach and go to my yoga class and ride my bike instead of drive my car to work.
I've started meditation classes, and I'm a bona fide Grateful Dead fan.
I hold advanced certification as an Iyengar yoga teacher. I'm a vegetarian. Just about every aspect of my life could be considered hippie, except for my support for Trump.
Yep. Marcianne Ritchie, Forrest Taylor, and Lori Tice, Trump voters living in the blue bubble of the Puget Sound area. And they all have been watching closely to see how President Trump compares to candidate Trump. And so far, they like what they see. Marcianne told me that Trump is the right person to lead the fight for America, a fight with two clear sides.
What I see now is less left-right, and it's now going to be patriots against globalists. I mean, I see that as where
exactly right,
yes.
What this is, what this new war is, the war of ideas now.
What will you tell me what is at stake in that war? Because I notice all of you reacting to that. What is it about globalization that you can't stand? Marcianne?
It's not about not standing globalization. It's about having that be more important than us as a country. I find it very hard to believe that any of these other countries are for the globalism either. I think we see that in the Brexit. I think every person who really loves their country doesn't like that idea. And there's so many factors that play into it. But the fact is, we're independent countries for a reason. We have different things about us that make us that country. I think it's not about non-globalism. It's about independent country patriotism. It's about having our own identity. We lose our identity in globalism.
What's an example of us losing our identity?
Well, if it's all global, what is an American? What is the difference between... I mean, I think they're trying to change the actual fiber of the government and how it's run and who gets to speak and who doesn't. That's what it is. And nobody in their right mind should want that for themselves, their children, future generations.
So you're saying that we're America, we're not these other countries, but how are we being forced to be like another country, and how is Trump going to fix that, Lori?
Multiculturalism is a fail. So what we're seeing here, whenever I think of globalism and why we are so against it, is because what we've seen happening is this creeping engineering of a socialistic transformation trying to take place in our government, which means the erosion of the Constitution. So, but I am definitely very anti-socialist. And so that's where I see the threat from globalization.
How is multiculturalism a fail? What do you mean by that?
Just look around. We have nothing but... Because
America's been, that's been our, as opposed to every other country, America's been the multicultural.
But multiculturalism as an agenda is a fail. So look all across Europe. These people, cultures self-segregate anyway. Look at New York. There's little Italy, little Prague. I mean, cultures self-segregate inside cities, and it's little fiefdoms anyhow.
But isn't that temporary? And then they, like, little Italy doesn't even mean anything anymore.
Right.
You have an enclave, and then they absorb into the American melting pot.
They do. But what you have now is an overabundance of people from countries that don't want to integrate into this society.
What makes you think they don't want to integrate?
They don't want to learn English.
That's
a starter. No, they don't.
They refuse to.
And they become,
they do.
They become, this is, I'm going to come back to my time
okay.
that I lived in Texas.
Okay.
I lived in one of the worst gang neighborhoods in Dallas County. And I saw firsthand what the effects of immigration are on those communities. And they do not want to learn English. A lot of my friends were elementary school teachers who say the parents refuse to let the kids speak English. They won't help the kids with their English. So I'm hearing this from educators.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just some generalization that I'm making from you know, press one for English.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a little hassle. But what I'm talking about are let's just talk about people that I know, what I know, the human beings that I know who have worked to come here and to become citizens of this country. I have friends that were whose house was firebombed in Kashmir by Muslim extremists 20 years ago. It took them, her and her father, 13 years to become citizens of the United States. And that's one of two handful of people that I can tell you who have gone about becoming a citizen the right way. And they wanted to come here because they absolutely loved what this country stood for. And they all want to be in that melting pot together. They don't want to self-segregate into their own communities. For instance, when you see people like La Raza waving the Mexican flag, demanding that we give back parts of this country, whether real or imagined, to those people. So there's a lot of hatred that's been garnished against Americans in general by disparate groups, disparate factions of those who, whether real or imagined, feel oppressed.
I don't completely agree with everything you said, but I think one of the reasons why there have been failures of multiculturalism is because of policy prescriptions that no one talks about that we've never fixed. Specifically in immigration, I completely agree with what you're saying. The line to legally immigrate into this country is so difficult and so long. I know plenty of people who would love to be U.S. citizens, you know, international students at the University of Washington, who would make a fantastic contribution to America and want to be American, you know. They've struggled to get here, and yet the line, you know, they need to marry someone to jump up to the top of the line. And yet we also have far too often illegal immigration is not cracked down on, whether that's through sanctuary cities or whether it's because we just don't care enough. It creates this broken...
Are you saying like undocumented workers picking apples are making the line longer for international students to get to come to the States?
No, I'm not saying...
What's the connection?
What I'm saying is that the way we treat undocumented workers, that is not the way a healthy society should function. They're basically... I mean, if they speak out, if they demand better working conditions... They could be, you know, employers hold their deportation basically over them. It's almost like, you might object to this, but, and I don't use this phrase often, but it's almost like wage slavery. They're living in such terrible conditions as this low, low underclass. So we allow, or we tacitly allow this terrible imposition of whether you call it undocumented working, illegal immigration, whatever you want to call it. It's just awful for those living under it. And yet we don't, it's so difficult to legally immigrate. What's the use of all these long-held victories for labor rights and against child labor in America? I mean, these are American values. This is what you were talking about, that were fought for so long and so hard. If you can just export those jobs to countries with no labor rights, with no care for human rights, I think it's monstrous.
Take a drive. Look at all the homeless people in almost every major city in this country, and look at the numbers of the amount of veterans that are sitting and dying waiting to be taken care of. But yet, if you come in this country illegally, you don't have to have your birth certificate and this and this and this to prove that you need help. You don't, if you have no papers and you're from somewhere else, go to the front of the line, sweetheart. We'll take care of you. That's not okay. I grew up 12 miles from the national headquarters of the KKK. I grew up in a town where people with dark skin weren't allowed to drive in my town after dark. People would be out with shotguns chasing them. I was horrified. It was a horrible thing to grow up and watch what was going on in our country in the late 60s and early 70s. And I have been the most gracious and endearing person for any other nationality and given them, you know, carte blanche to come in here and make themselves at home. And I believe that a number of Americans, the majority of Americans, feel that way. I don't like how the left is trying to turn it. The thing that hurts me the most is for people to come up and say, Trump's a racist. No, he's not. The natural American is not racist. I mean, I felt sick at my stomach, actually sick, physically sick, the night I watched the debates and heard Hillary Clinton say, we're all racists. We all have a racist tendency.
You can call someone a racist, and Bill, I would say yes, it definitely did shut down meaningful dialogue, because we ended up talking about, at the end of every day, we ended up talking about things that really didn't matter instead of the substance of what the American people wanted. And that is why the silent majority voted this man into office, because we were tired of not having our issues heard. We were tired of not having our voices heard. The media wants to continue talking about these canards of things that don't really matter to us at the end of the day. So if the media wants to continue in this vein of calling people racist, of promoting Black Lives Matter, promoting violence against police officers, then we're gonna see maybe not just 8 years, but 12 years.
Who promotes violence against police officers?
MSNBC, for one.
Really?
Oh, CNN fans the flame.
CNN.
CNN, MSNBC fan, CNN and MSNBC fan the flames of the Black Lives Matter movement.
I've taken part in Black Lives Matter protests or documented them in Seattle, and I'm supportive of some things in the movement, in any decentralized movement, whether that's Black Lives Matter or, frankly, the Trump movement. I think there are important questions and important discussions that should be had about the way that race plays a part in the society, about implicit biases. But I agree that calling someone a racist is such a shutdown word, and everyone at this point kind of knows it is, that it does block real conversation.
And like I said, I worked for Ralph Nader during his presidential, the biggest presidential campaign that he had in 2000, and I traveled 21 states for him. And you talk about diversity there. There's nothing like that in the diversity that I saw during this campaign. I saw more women, more people of color, mm-hmm. more people of different nationalities than I ever did in the Ralph Nader or Dennis Kucinich campaigns. Mm-hmm. So for the media, I think, to falsely say that this was a largely white contingency that put Trump in office, I challenge them to go back and look at some of the tapes of the rallies, not just the people sitting behind him, but the entire rally. And when I was in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration, I was there for an entire week, went to several events and several balls, of which I was the minority as a woman and as a white person. So that's just a complete falsehood that there's not a diverse group of people supporting this president. You feel like it's hard to find a Trump supporter in this area, but really there are 1.2 million of us in Washington state that voted for Mr. Trump. And the Seattle Times even published, we were a little over 21% in King County. And the shock expressed by the journalist in Seattle Times, I found to be a little bit disturbing and a little bit almost inciting violence. Like how the person across from you on the bus could be a Trump supporter. Your dog walker could be a Trump supporter. So inferring that you should be carrying pepper spray or be ready to punch them out or confront them in ritual humiliation.
I hope that we could all recognize that we are one nation. I believe that Trump loves all people who love the U.S. and the Constitution, and that's what it's about. It's about people who love America and want to help America grow and be strong. It should be so simple for us to all come together and work to make our nation stronger instead of dividing ourselves like this, because I know that it's in his heart to bring us together, not to divide us.
Those are Trump voters Marcy Ann Ritchie of Snohomish, Lori Tice of Shoreline, and University of Washington Seattle student Forrest Taylor. Today, President Trump spoke for himself at great length. He held a news conference that turned into a kind of town hall with the media. The president said his administration is running like a fine-tuned machine and that the media are out of control. And there was a lot more. You're going to hear about the latest Trump event today, coming up this afternoon on KUOW's All Things Considered.